Happy Monday. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is sponsored by the great travel agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to book that next Disneyland, Walt Disney World, or Disney Cruise Line vacation, have a partner in your planning. That's right, you're going to have somebody there looking over the numbers to make sure that you're getting the best deal possible. They're there full service for you to make any ADRs or special request reservations that you need, and just to help you in your trip planning. The best part about this is it costs you absolutely nothing. You'll pay the exact same price you would booking directly through Disney. Work with one of the great passionate agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 389 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday. We hope that you had a great weekend. Thank you so much for downloading the show and getting your Disney talk from us here to get your week started. Joining me today to talk about a very recent trip, he is a return guest and brought a new guest onto the show. We have Rob from Canada. How's it going, Rob?
Hey, Mike, pretty good. How about you?
I am doing great, and we have Kristen joining us as well, who traveled with you down to Walt Disney World. So how you doing, Kristen?
I'm good.
Great to have you on the show as well. And, you know, it's getting colder down here in the States, and you're up in Calgary. And we're just talking about the first snow of the year you guys just had. So how's that?
It's nice. Everybody forgets how to drive for a day, but people adjust slowly.
Seriously, I didn't think Canadians had any problem with driving on the snow. I mean, because, you know, isn't there snow on the ground like 10 months out of the year?
Yeah, sadly, that's pretty true.
All right, well, let's talk about something a little warmer and a lot more fun than the snow, which is inevitably heading down to our, you know, to the friends here in the South as well. But let's talk about your recent Disney trip. You guys went down together late August, early September. So, Rob, maybe lay down kind of the general stuff, and then we'll get into all the specifics of the trip.
All right, well, we headed down again. Every time I go down, it seems there's going to be a hurricane that's about to hit. This time we avoided it again. And we stayed our first night at a hotel right by the Outlet Mall on iDrive. And then we went to Pop Century for, I think it was 7 days there, hit all the parks, had a few good meals and good times. It was a very different type of trip for me, but I loved it.
Yeah, I know. It seems like, you know, I believe in your previous trips, I think you've been on the show a couple times, and we've talked about, you know, you went down with the guys, and it seemed like golf was like the central focus of your trip. So this one seems like it was a little bit different.
Yeah, it was very different. One of the biggest things is, you know, I kind of love extreme thrill rides, and Kristen doesn't like extreme thrill rides. So, you know, we kind of compromised for each other. You know, I went on some rides while she went shopping. You know, she loves to shop, so... You know, it was good compromise, and I got to do a lot of things I've never done before. I got to see a lot of new things, and it was a great time.
Awesome. Well, Kristen, jump in here, and I know that we were talking before the show, and you hadn't been down since you were, you know, 9 or 10. So what were your initial thoughts when you got down to Walt Disney World? I'm sure it's changed a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I originally went down there with my dad and my sister, and again, my dad loves thrill rides too, so I'm used to hanging back in the gift shop and just checking stuff out. But probably the biggest difference I know when I went Hollywood Studios was MGM. So there's quite a few differences there, definitely.
Yeah, no kidding. The place is, you know, it's like you miss a couple years and you miss a lot. So, you know, I think that's actually a good thing, though. You know, as much as I don't want to miss any summers going down because we tend to go down every summer, it would be kind of nice because then you would have so much new stuff and it would almost seem like your first trip all over again.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Well, let's talk about that first night. You guys stayed near the Outlet Mall at, I believe, Hilton Grand Vacation. And we'll get into Pop Century. We talk about Pop quite a bit, my favorite value resort. But, you know, Rob, give us a little bit of background on this other hotel near the Outlet Mall.
So Kristen said it originally when we were planning that she wanted to go to the Outlet Mall because she loves shopping, as I said. And I was just kind of researching on the net for hotels that were nearby, and I found this. It was a great deal for the Hilton Grand Vacation. And I gotta say, it's a really impressive place. They have, the service was incredible. I mean, you checked in and a guy picked us up on a golf cart and drove us to our building and gave us a tour of the grounds. And, you know, they have multiple pools. All the rooms are around like a central lake. And yeah, they have like everything there. The room was really nice. And the best part was the outlet mall was literally right across the street. Like, we came down the elevator and crossed the street and we were in the outlet mall. So it was perfect.
You totally blew me away, though, because when I'm expecting these offsite hotels, I'm expecting something a little less than a guy taking you on a tour in a golf cart of the grounds. I mean, not, you definitely did your research, because usually the stories go the other way when you stay off property.
Yeah, no, I was very surprised. Like, the service was amazing. And then the next morning, you know, we asked if they could hold our bags while we went to the mall again. They said, yeah, no problem. We had, you know, we went up to the bar the night before and had a drink. And yeah, everybody was really, like, outstandingly friendly. And it was a really good experience.
That's great to hear, because a lot of folks are always asking for recommendations offsite. And, you know, sounds like a good place to explore. Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd recommend that for sure.
Cool. All right. Well, Kristen, let's get the shopping report over at the Outlet Mall for those people that may be curious. How's it go over there?
It was awesome. I know it was nice for Rob because we got the shopping out of the way on the first day of our trip, so he didn't have to worry about it anymore after that. But yeah, I got some really great deals. You can't get those kind of deals up here, so it's always nice to go down to the U.S. and take advantage of them, and I definitely did.
Very nice. I know my wife loves a good shopping outlet mall as well. She's actually headed there this weekend. And, you know, fortunately, I get to stay home and watch a little football, because I feel Rob's pain. I can't shop that much.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Rob. Well, so you guys moved over to Pop Century and you were on a free dining package, which is always great for, you know, late or, you know, middle of the fall there when they offer that. So once you got over to Pop, where'd you guys stay at Pop, and did you enjoy your room location?
We were in the 80s building, which I'd never been in. I've always been in the 50s, so it was a nice change. I find it's kind of a maze to get back there, though. We took like a different route every single night we got home. One thing that was kind of interesting of note was when we got there to check, was it to check in? Yeah, it was to check in. It was just, the lobby was insane, and we couldn't figure out why, and then we realized because of all the storms that were happening on the East Coast, people were having to extend their vacations, which, hey, that's not a terrible thing, I guess. But yeah, so, but the lobby was just insane. And we did the online check-in. And, you know, I'm kind of glad we did, because the non-online check-in line was just, yeah, it was insane. But they handled it very well, I have to say.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, that storm definitely wreaked havoc on the East Coast, because I think that, you know, looking back on that storm, in hearing other people that were down there at the time, that it wasn't so much of what was happening in Florida. It was just that people were stranded. They couldn't get home. So like you said, they were having to stay because there was no way for them to get home, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's making the best of a bad situation, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you guys are over at Pop and in the 80s, and, you know, so then you have, you know, you check in and it's the beginning of your vacation. You have your tickets. You're ready to go. So maybe, Kristen, where did you guys go first? And, you know, what were some of the highlights of seeing the parks?
Well, we checked in probably about noon in Pop Century. So we went to Magic Kingdom, probably got there about 2 o'clock. So we were there for the afternoon and evening. And, yeah, I hadn't been there for, what, like 13 years now. So it was definitely different. But I remember different parts of it. We were walking around the park, and I'm like, hey, I remember this, like, this little area or this little store. Just memories popping back. But, yeah, it was good. It was busy, though. I wasn't quite used to the crowds yet.
that's all, you know, and you guys weren't in a really busy time of the year. I mean, you know, go down during Christmas or something. You're coming up. You want to see crowds. But, you know, I like what you said about how, even though you hadn't been there in quite a long time, that there are still pieces of Walt Disney World that still feel familiar to you. And you remember, you know, being there, even though a lot's changed. I think that's one of the things that I like too, Kristen, is that, you know, you can go back after a long period of time and still say, you know, I really remember this from when I was younger.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I first went down and we went to Magic Kingdom on our first day, and the first thing we went on was the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. And I totally remembered it.
I was like, yeah, that's definitely not classified as a thrill ride there. So Rob, yeah. There you go. Very nice. You know, unless you're scared of like steps or something. I mean, it's kind of high, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I can handle heights. So.
Very nice. So, Rob, you know, you guys head over to the Magic Kingdom. What were some of your highlights?
You know, I'm like you. I love Space Mountain, but that thing is getting more and more rough every time.
Yes,
maybe
it
I'm
is.
Just getting old.
No, I'm the same way. That thing, I love the thing, but man, I get sore getting off that thing.
Oh yeah, it's a really rough ride. I couldn't believe it. I came off and I thought I needed to go see a chiropractor right away.
I'm the same way. And I made the mistake that one time of riding it after running the half marathon, after, you know, running and then not running for a few hours. And boy, I was stiff as anything. I seriously thought I might not make it to the end of that ride.
Yeah, that's brave, I have to say.
No, it's actually stupid, but All right, so what else do you guys do over at the Magic Kingdom?
You know, one of the things that I seriously think is one of the most underrated attractions there is the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
I agree.
I mean, holy smokes, it is funny. The only thing I thought was kind of weird was the time of year we went, I found there was a lot of, like, tour groups and, like, Spanish people. And I just thought they should have, like, a sign when they go into the attraction that says, you know, this is in English. So if you don't know English, you might not enjoy it as much. Because there was people that were in there with us, and they just looked like they had no idea what was going on, and I almost felt bad for them.
That's true. You're not going to get a whole lot out of that. I never really thought about that, but yeah, you're not going to get much out of that attraction if you don't speak the language, unless they have some kind of device that translates it quickly, which I know they do for some of the attractions.
Yeah, I don't know if they do for that one. That's a good question.
Cool. You know, they do have those like red headphones, which I know do translate to different languages, but I would think that would be very challenging with something like Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor because it's so fast and it's so interactive. But, I guess maybe with technology it's possible.
Yeah, they'd have to have somebody there translating it live, which I don't think they would do that. That'd be a lot of man hours.
Yeah, it would. So what else was happening over there?
You know, we saw the Magic, the Memories in You, which that's the first time I've ever seen it. And, yeah, those projections are absolutely crazy. And, yeah, I was just totally amazed by that. And, one of the things that I thought was most spectacular was we were watching the Main Street Electrical Parade right kind of by the entrance, you know, just sort of in front of that popcorn cart, which is on the left side when you come in. And they have the cast members that basically, I don't know how you describe it, they coordinate crossings like every 3 minutes during the parade.
Yes.
And I remember you guys did an episode on hardest working cast members a while ago. That person deserves to be the hardest working cast member because they're like, you know, they're moving this mass of people in like 10 seconds and, you know, people don't listen. They stop and they take photos and, oh, it was just insanity. I don't know how this girl did it. I even said to her, I said, you are very good at your job.
I know exactly what you're talking about right there. And you're exactly right because people do, I mean, they try to usher, you know, groups of people. It's right there near Casey's and the ice cream shop where they try to get you across Main Street, you know, in the little gaps between the floats. But the thing is if you look over your shoulder, you're like, whoa, I'm in the middle of Main Street, and there's the castle, right? Somebody will stop to try to get a picture because they are in a great spot, only you're about to get run over by the next float in the parade there. So I know, and you're right, nobody listens. So great call on that one.
Yeah, no, that takes an extreme amount of patience by that person. I have a lot of respect for them.
They must have to, like, draw straws for that position each night. Like, oh, man, I got the short straw. I'm the crossing guard on Main Street.
Yeah, oh god, I would not want to do that.
Absolutely. So let's hop over to the, you know, some of the other parks. So Kristen, maybe some of your highlights at one of the other theme parks.
I think the next day we went to Epcot. We spent 2 days at Epcot, and one of my favorite attractions there was the Great Piggy Bank Adventure.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
I was getting ready to say maybe Soarin' or something, but okay, Great Piggy Bank Adventure works.
I wanted to take the piggy bank home with me. I wish they had little ones that you could buy.
There, you know, don't say that too loud. Disney will try to sell them.
Well, they should. I would buy one.
Nice. Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, that's definitely not a thrill attraction either. So we're off on a good start here.
But yeah, Soarin' was really cool too.
Awesome. So what else around the park? I mean, did you guys get back in World Showcase? Maybe have some of your meals over there?
Yes, we went to the Italian restaurant called Via Napoli. We had a reservation there, and so we ordered pizza, and it was amazing.
Oh, you sound like Ricky from the show here that's on our Friday shows. Now, I've never eaten at Via Napoli yet. I just keep missing it. I've been down there 3 times since it's been open, but just Never eaten there. So, you know, I have heard that the pizza, the four cheese is what Ricky says is really good. But, you know, what's the atmosphere like there? Because I've never even been inside of it.
It's just, I don't know, like it's bustling and everyone who works there, they're from Italy. So they're, it's just, it feels really authentic.
Very nice. So you agree with that? A great meal there, Rob?
Oh, yeah. I had the prosciutto pizza and it was really weird when I ordered it because it's prosciutto and it came with cantaloupe on top, which I thought would be a really weird combination. But seriously, it was like the most delicious thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, that happens at Epcot, it seems like. They'll throw some crazy stuff on top of something. You're like, what? But, you know, I guess that's why we're the experts and, you know, I have Arby's for dinner.
But seriously, Mike, next time you're down there, you have to go. I know you've been meaning to go, but you really got to go there.
Yeah, I'm going to take the family this summer. That's one of the things. It's very high up on my list. The problem was, last time I was down, it was during Food and Wine Festival, so I never really sat down. I just kind of snacked everywhere, and I know you guys just missed that, so, you know, the sit-down meals were a lot more important then.
Yeah, I think that was the only sit-down we did, and it was amazing. I'm glad we went.
Awesome. So, you know, what were some of your highlights over at Epcot, Rob? I mean, what are some of your favorites or maybe something you tried that was new this time?
One thing that I tried that was new that I've been wanting to try, but this time we actually went, is Turtle Talk with Crush, which I thought was, like, so amazingly hilarious. I don't know, maybe we just had a really good group of kids, but, you know, he was asking the kids on the floor, you know, what, do you have any questions about turtles? And one of the kids asked, what kind of turtle are you? And how many different types of turtles are there? And he said, oh, you know, there's greenback, there's, you know, and he listed all of these types. And then the kid said, well, what kind of turtle are you, Crush? And he goes, oh, well, I'm a greenback. And another kid jumps off the ground and goes, I knew it!
Nice.
It was just, it was hilarious. I mean, it's so sad because it's hidden, you know, in the Seas Pavilion there, but... Oh, if you haven't gone, definitely go. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I'm just like you. I mean, I really am a fan, and I know some people are kind of on the opposite extreme with these, I guess it's kind of almost like that Living Character Initiative where they have the, you know, somebody there, in, you know, working as one of the characters, but you get to interact with them. I'm in total agreement that Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor and Turtle Talk are very underrated because you just don't get an opportunity to do anything like that really any other place.
Yeah, it's totally true. Like, you can ride thrill rides anywhere. Of course, they're not the same caliber, but, you know, that's a totally unique experience, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, and you're right, man. Turtle Tuck is just tucked away there, and, I mean, you got to go after it or, you know that it's there because you're really not going to happen upon it. Even, you know, even if you're going over to Ride the Seas with Nemo and friends, you could still maybe miss it even in that pavilion.
Yeah, definitely. It's hidden. It's not, and they don't have, like, a signboard saying when the next show is, really, or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, I need to pump that up a little more. So anyway, well, let's maybe hop over to the studios. I'm sure you guys spent some time over there. And Krista, maybe some of the highlights for you.
Well, I did get to experience Toy Story Mania, which Rob was very excited about. So it was crazy. We got there right at 9 a.m. and we're standing at the gates. And it reminded me of, like, the beginning of a 10K race where there's all these crowds. And then, like, they shoot the gun off and everyone just goes running.
You know, it's like,
and they're all going to the same spot.
It is. I mean, it's kind of like a Disney sanctioned, you know, it's not 10K. It's probably about, you know, 0.2K, but it's definitely, you know, all the same rules apply. You know, you have to trade paint and bump elbows.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. And then standing in line, I think Rob called in about this about a month ago, and there was a woman from a tour group and she was getting about 70 fast passes just for her. And it was holding up the lines, and it was just crazy.
No, I've been there where the guy, you know, Brazilian tour group had the big flag, and he was up there. And, you know, it's just my luck, or maybe I'm just not really that smart, but I always get behind that guy. You know, I'm like, yeah. You know, why is ever, like, the guy that was 18 people behind me in the next line is already, like, walking and getting in line to get on the ride, and I haven't moved a foot, you know? But, you know, it's one of those things that, and I agree, Rob did call into one of our live shows and talk about, you know, they should have some kind of a system for the tour group leaders to get, you know, mass fast passes out of the way of everybody else. Because, I mean, and we talked about this, I think, on that live show, too, was that you can literally stand there at Toy Story and watch the return times go up as you're standing there. So, Rob, I mean, I'm sure that was a huge frustration for you.
Oh, yeah, especially because I wanted to go in the standby line right away as well, so we could do it twice. And, of course, you know, not only does the fast pass return time cycle up, but the standby, you know, it cycles up, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70. So it was like 90 by the time we got our fast pass, and I was like, okay, that's not happening.
No kidding. Now, are you too competitive at all when it comes to Toy Story Midway Mania?
I don't know. Were we competitive?
Think so.
No,
it's that's good.
Yeah.
I might have thrown one elbow. I think that's it.
It's all good. All right. So what else do you guys enjoy over the studios? Did you guys check out maybe the new Star Tours?
I went on the new Star Tours, and yeah, my review is kind of biased because I've never watched Star Wars.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
the show just ended. No, just kidding. I guess they didn't send Star Wars North of the Border or something, because there's no way you could miss out. You know, Ricky, I thought, was the only person on the planet not to see Star Wars, but now I guess there's two of you.
Yeah. I saw, I've seen bits and pieces. I remember my friend made fun of me once because we were watching a part of it, and I thought that, what was it? I think it was, I thought Yoda was Jabba the Hutt or something. I don't know. It was embarrassing.
I was like, yeah, they really don't look much alike.
No, I know that now.
Good. Well, okay. So, seriously though, what did you think of Star Tours as somebody who, you know, isn't a big Star Wars geek and, you know, knows all the nuances and details of the movies? I mean, did you enjoy the attraction even though you didn't know the story?
I thought it was neat. The technology is really neat, and I thought it was a lot smoother than the old one. The old one used to make me feel like I was gonna get sick, but yeah, the new, it's neat. It's definitely, you know, a cool thing to do. If you're a Star Wars fan, I think you would really enjoy it, but yeah, I didn't quite get it.
Absolutely. Well, so you know, while you're over there, one of the things I really enjoy about the studios is all the live performances, whether it's Streetmosphere or maybe checking Fantasmic at the end of the night or seeing something like Beauty and the Beast. So Kristen, did you guys see any of the, you know, live performances while you were there?
We did go to Fantasmic, I think our second night at Hollywood Studios, and that's actually something else I remember from my first trip. I just vaguely remembered seeing all the characters on a boat.
Well, there it
that's
is.
That's all I remembered about the show.
You're like, I haven't seen, oh wait, it's the very end of the show. Yeah, I did see this once before now.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I've seen this. The other thing that I was really excited about was the Pixar Pals Countdown to Fun Parade.
Really? Now, see, that thing gets beat up by people all the time. People just don't enjoy that parade. So you thought it was a fun thing?
I thought it was awesome. I'm kind of biased because I love Pixar and I love parades. And we were there probably an hour before it started. We got really good seats, and we were right at the entrance where the characters came out. And I thought it was awesome. I was dancing to the music, and I was like a two-year-old. I was so excited.
That's what it's all about, though. That's awesome, because, you know, I'm the same way. You know, I know some people get down on certain things with Disney, but you know what? It's a parade. It's supposed to be fun. And I mean, seriously, people, don't take everything so seriously. It's a parade, and it's just have a good time. Cut loose.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. So well, let's head over to the Animal Kingdom here for a little bit. And this seems to be a lot of folks' least favorite Disney theme park for one reason or another. So, Rob, where does this fall on your scale?
It's got neat stuff, but again, yeah, it's kind of like a half-day park. I think we did it as a half-day. One neat thing was we went on the Kilimanjaro Safari, and Kristen actually brought, she has, you know, one of those cameras that I would never own because I wouldn't know how to use it, but she had like a SLR camera, which was really cool to have, so we got some really neat pictures. And also we did the walking trail, I can't remember what that's called.
Maharaja Jungle Trek or the Pangani Forest Trail?
Yeah, I think it was the Maharaja. And yeah, we saw, you know, the gorillas, and we got some really good close-up pictures of the gorillas. It's kind of, I think the biggest key to that park is you have to go in not expecting to see a ton of rides and just explore. I think that's what we did different this trip is, you know, when I went with the guys, we were just going, you know, let's go to the big attractions, let's go to the rides. Whereas this time we kind of explored more, and I really got a greater appreciation for the park, I think.
And that's what I was going to ask you kind of as we wrapped up, but that's interesting because there is a total different dynamic when you're just there to, you know, the total focus is thrill rides or to see as many attractions as possible. Yet when you slow down and just kind of take it all in, you know, I've learned over the years, I've kind of shifted from that attractions all the time to, slowing down and just kind of taking things as they come. And to be honest, I kind of like it the second way now.
Yeah, no, it's really neat. You see a lot of things that you'd never noticed before. I mean, it wasn't even just at Animal Kingdom. It was at all the other ones. As I said, with Crush, I would never go to that if it was just, you know, me and a bunch of guys. But I'm really glad we did. It was awesome. I saw a lot of new things.
That's awesome. Now, Kristen, you said that you had this SLR camera on the Safari there. Now, I would imagine that'd be kind of tough because every time I've been on that thing, you know, that Jeep or whatever the vehicle is just jostles around like crazy. And every time I go to, like, take a shot with my little point and shoot, you know, I'm aiming, and then the guy, like, you know, hits the gas and you, boom, you get a picture of a tree or some dirt. So, you know, how did that work out? I mean, did you get some good pictures out there on the Safari?
We did. It's kind of by chance as much as anything else. But it was nice to have my good camera because it takes photos really fast. You just kind of, you know, you take 6 shots really quickly and hope that one of them turns out.
Well, now see, that's my Toy Story Midway Mania tip. You know, I just shoot everything on the screen and hopefully, you know, I hit something and get some points. So, you know, they all kind of tie together there. I guess it works for photography too.
And I actually, when we left the Safari, and you know those little, we got those little nets under the seats where you can put all your personal belongings. And I left my sunglasses in there and didn't realize until about half an hour later. And so we went to Lost and Found, and they didn't have them yet. And they told us we could check at the main Lost and Found of the Magic Kingdom. So we went to Magic Kingdom, I think 2 or 3 days later. It was the day before we left. And we went to the main Lost and Found, and they had my sunglasses there.
Now, you know, I know this sounds so geeky, but I've never been to the main Lost and Found for Disney. And I can only imagine how much stuff ends up there in the course of a day or a week. So I know this sounds so dumb, but I mean, I bet you there's some other people that are curious. What is it like at the Lost and Found? Like, how do you find your sunglasses over the, you know, bajillion pair that have been left at the Animal Kingdom that day? How's that work?
Well, you just go in. It's not that big. And there's a little desk and you go in and you know, they say, describe your sunglasses. And I go, well, they're black.
That's what I was going to say.
Like everyone else is.
That's what, so yeah, they're kind of dark.
Yeah, kind of dark, tinted. So I tried to give her as detailed a description as I could. And she went back there for about 2 minutes and came back with my sunglasses. I couldn't believe it.
Are you kidding me? That is incredible. I mean, can you imagine? I've always wondered how that works because, like I said, you know, most things you're going to lose at Disney are going to be things that other guests have similar items. And with sunglasses especially, did she come out with like a couple pair or was it just like your pair, like she found them?
I think it was the exact pair.
Wow, that is a gift, I'm telling you. You know what, Rob, we were talking about hardest working. Maybe that's the smartest cast member down at Disney.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that she sorted through. Because as you said, I'm sure there's a bin of 100 pairs of sunglasses. But yeah, she came out first set, that was it. It was just, if anybody needs to know in the future, it was just at the TTC to the right side when you're looking at the monorail entrances. Just a little building.
You know, after you guys walked out, she put a notch up on the board like, yep, first pick, got another point.
Exactly. They probably have a leaderboard in the staff room there.
Exactly. All right, well, let's talk about maybe some of the things you did outside the parks because we've hit the 4 theme parks and maybe some highlights, Rob, of stuff you did when you weren't in the theme parks.
The only other meal we had was we went to Beaches and Cream, and because I've heard Ricky say it on the show 100 million times, we had to get a No Way Jose, and it was, holy smokes, is that thing big.
She's little.
I know. Well, Kristen, I think, might even be little, even more little, so this thing came out, it was huge, I couldn't believe it, and, you know, last trip we had the kitchen sink, and this, when it came out, I couldn't believe it. And, you know, it was really tasty. What did we finish? Maybe half of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was great. I loved it. And then, you know, we took the boat to get to the resort there to go to Beaches and Cream. And we did a bit of resort touring. We went to the Animal Kingdom Lodge and we did a full lap around that resort, which I didn't think it was that big, but that was a good walk. I saw all the animals and, yeah, no, That's the goal, I think, is to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge one day. So, you know, maybe when I'm a CEO in 20 years or something and I can afford that.
I'm still working on it. I've been teaching for 15 years and, you know, now we're to the moderate resort. So maybe I'll have to be a principal or something before I can do that.
There you go. You got to have goals. That's important.
That's exactly right. Well, guys, it sounds like you guys had a really good trip. And so before we get out of here, you know, you guys did go late August, early September. Crowds and weather. Of course, they had the big hurricane on the East Coast, but did it affect you much as far as weather down in Florida? And how were the crowds, you think?
the weather was fine. It was your typical Florida, you know, afternoon shower for 20 minutes. So there was only one day when we went to that other place, Universal, and it was, it poured that day. But, you know, that's just, you know, that's the people above saying don't go to Universal.
You know, Disney controls the weather and they knew, so.
That's exactly, yeah. So, you know, other than that, just, you know, a couple afternoon showers, not bad. The crowds, they were pretty good. The only, on the last day, September 4th, we went to the Magic Kingdom and it was insane that day. But, you know, I think it was typical late August, early September crowds, not too bad.
Well, awesome. You know, it's been fun reliving your trip here. And, you know, you got to teach Kristen how to play golf so that next year when we come on the show and talk about it, we could talk about, you know, a couple rounds at the great Disney courses and, you know, find out how she does with that.
Absolutely. I'm going to start on training as soon as the snow melts here.
All right. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us. It was great having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Rob, take care. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
All right, and don't forget today's episode was brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So the next time you're looking to book a Disney vacation, work with one of the travel professionals over at the Magic for Less. Check them out over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget to check out our website over at beourguestpodcast.com/forums, and you can get in on the conversation over there. We talk about Disney all day, every day. Have a great time meeting new Disney fans and it really is a family over there. So check it out, BeOurGuestPodcast.com this week. Don't forget, in between shows, we have Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And we'd love to have you join us anytime. Check it out. You know, we play 24/7 great Walt Disney World audio. So give it a listen today. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter. It's at Twitter.com/BeOurGuestMike and on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We hope that you have a great week. Remember, Magical Mouse Radio is now playing that great Walt Disney World holiday music you love, so give it a tune right now as the show ends. So have a great week, work hard, and for Rob and Kristen, I'm Mike, saying we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.